My name is Andrew. I'm an alcoholic. So, from the beginning, I was raised in a family of Jehovah's Witnesses, so I was taught at a very, very early age Christianity. And, you know, it was one of those situations where I did it because that's what my family wanted me to do. But inside, I didn't really feel okay with it. I didn't really like a lot of the things that they were teaching, but I just did it for show. Which describes pretty much my life getting loaded. I did it for the show. You know, I kept up appearances with certain people and then did my own thing on the side. I was not one of those kind of people who got into iffy situations and did those foxhole prayers. I was the one cursing God in those moments, you know, saying, why are you doing this to me? You know, why is this my situation? Why do I have to go through this? You know, I wanted absolutely nothing to do with this God, this entity, this being that I had these ideas ingrained in my head with. And I wanted nothing to do with that. And so I went out on my own and just completely turned away from that. And that's how I lived my life, you know, paid no mind to it. And coming into these rooms, I start reading through the book with a sponsor. I start working my steps and we arrive at the chapter, We Agnostics. And my sponsor asked me my opinions and my ideas on my spiritual beliefs or religious or whatever it may be. And in the very first chapter, or not the first chapter, the first paragraph of We Agnostic, it leads with, in the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. And I qualify here. I knew that. And it says, if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I had a little problem with that, because I immediately relate spirituality with religion. I have all these preconceived notions about what God is, what God should be, and how this faith and devotion and worship, like all these ideas that had been taught to me, that automatically went through my head. And in all honesty, if it wasn't for as we understood him in the 12 steps, I wouldn't be here. That's the only reason I'm here, is because you say Jesus or Buddha or whatever, and I immediately say, nope, thank you, I'm all right. You can keep your Buddha, you can keep your Jesus, I'm not for me, you know. And so here was where my real spiritual work began. I started to become a little bit open-minded and realize that these old ideas, these old thoughts, these old belief systems are what I didn't like. They didn't work for me. So why would I adhere to that? And as we understood him, my sponsor made it very clear that it is my personal higher power, my understanding of this God, of this creator, this power greater than myself, whatever it is, it's mine. And I can define it as it makes sense to me. And I definitely identify as a heathen and a pagan. You know, if that scares you, well, you're probably in the right place. I'm not here to tell anybody how to believe or what to believe in. I'm just stating my personal experience and what works for me. If you're not quite sure what either of those means, Merriam-Webster defines a heathen as basically somebody of an unconverted member of a people or nation that does not acknowledge the God of the Bible, which is me. I don't identify with that particular God, the Jesus, the Krishna, whatever it may be. You know, I derive a lot of my belief systems from this spiritual binge that I went on right after a year. I had a basic understanding of this universal energy because of the solar system and the stars. Like you had kind of touched on a little bit, I can't control the stars. right about a year, I got into this thing where I just went on the spiritual kick, and I started looking into Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and further into Christianity and Muslim and like all these different like Norse and Egyptian belief and religious systems, Native American culture, and like all these different things because I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand because in the big book, it told me that if I failed to perfect and enlarge upon my spiritual life, I'm sure to drink again. And it really scared me after I hit a year because this thought went through my head that, well, now I'm sober, now what do I do? You know, I've stayed sober for a year, where do we go from here? You know, and I went through my steps again, read through the book again, and found that little saying, if we fail to perfect and enlarge on our spiritual life, we're sure to drink. And that terrified me because I clearly remember the situation that I was in when I came back into these rooms after my 2.5 year in and out relapse bender. And I didn't want to go back, you know. So the only other choice for me was this, you know. And so I went at it. And what I ended up doing is taking little bits and pieces from this here and this here and this here. And I found what I was comfortable with, what made sense to me, you know, something that I could grasp, something that I could understand and something that's just comfortable, you know? And a lot of it is silly. A lot of it contradicts each other. And I don't quite understand most of it, but it's what I like. It's what I'm comfortable with. And, you know, here I stand with a little over 3 years of sobriety. So something must be working. You know, and so I give it up to this belief system. I do sit down and pray. I do sit down and meditate. I do have a very, very strong spiritual connection with my higher power, and I try to seek new ways to find those spiritual experiences in every day of my life. Whether it's just simple things like staring at the trees and birds or whatever, or whether it's something more significant. One of my buddies that I've watched bouncing out of the room for a couple of years now, I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he overdosed on heroin twice in one day. He was shooting up on purpose, trying to kill himself. He's still here. That, for me, is where I find God, in these moments. You know, a guy that's purposely overdosing on heroin twice in one day, he's still here. You know, I can't quite understand that. I can't quite explain that. But there must be a reason for it. And that right there, that situation where I can't explain these things that are happening, that are reality, that are my truth, that's my God right there. You know, one of my favorite moments, sobriety. One of the most beautiful moments of my life. One of my sponsees died in a car accident. He was hit by a drunk driver. He died sober. A little ironic. But he was one of those guys who was just like me. He bounced in and out. He had trouble with accepting the religious idea, the spiritual principles and these things. And he couldn't. You know, he struggled with it for a little bit and bounced in and out. And his whole thing was he always felt alone. You know, he never quite felt like he fit in because he was a pagan. He was a witch, self-proclaimed. He had all these weird ceremonies and rituals that people would look at him like, dude, you're weird. You know, and I get it. I understand that. And so he always had this thing. And he carved into his arm one day, showed up at a meeting with alone. Was carved into his arm, you know, and that's how he felt. At his funeral service, there were over 300 people. And that was invite only. That didn't even include everybody who wanted to show up. Family, friends, people from all over Arizona, people that he went to school with, attended college with. You know, and at this funeral service, his family members, his brother, his sister, his parents, they came up to me and they said, thank you for what you did for our son, for the time that we had him back. And in all reality, it was nothing that I did for him. I am just simply here to share my experience. I am simply here to share what my experiences with the steps, with my own spiritual beliefs, my own practice. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do, what to believe in, how to act, how to behave, how to talk. It's not my place. I'm just here to share what works for me. And it was in that moment where we're hugging and crying and everyone's sad, and then afterwards we're telling jokes about, you know, just stupid life situations and being just doing dumb things. And we got to share all these stories with his family and all of this. And it was at this funeral service where I realized that this is why I'm here. To carry this message of Alcoholics Anonymous. To share my experience. To share my beliefs. Whether you like it or not is entirely up to you. I don't really care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say about me. That's no business of mine. I don't care. If you relate, great. You know? But I realized that day that this is what I'm here for. I'm here to help others. And that was plainly put forward by my sponsor when I was working through my steps, because getting loaded, I was very violent. I was very angry. I hung out with a lot of bad people intent on doing bad things. And that was never my intention. But you get me loaded, I don't have a choice. I do what I have to do. And that was one of my big hang-ups, was the guilt and shame for all the things that I'd done that I didn't want to do, but I did anyway. And I found the freedom from all of that guilt and the shame through this connection with my own higher power, through working these steps, through showing up to meetings like this and sharing this moment in time and space with all of you other people here, you know. I want to thank everybody who has come before me in this program, laid down this path, and made it possible for me to be here. You know, without the old timers, without all the other people who came before me, I wouldn't be here. You know, and I'm extremely grateful for what this program has done for me in my life. And very simply put, my old ideas, my old behaviors getting loaded. I run on self-will. I'm angry and violent, and I get loaded, and I burn bridges, and you know, my life is filled with nothing but pain and anger and depression and all these things. That is my will. That is what happens when I run the show. On the flip side of that, God's will, my higher power's will, I've been able to help people. I've been able to love. I've been able to be generous and kind and reliable and loyal and honest and all these different things. Through this connection with this higher power, through talking to you guys, sharing your experience with me, sharing mine with you, just sitting down when we're bored and just talking about whatever happens to come up in conversation. And very simply put, my higher power's will is just to help. And that's what I'm here for today. And in every moment, in every decision, in every day of my life, I try to carry this one very simple thing with me. Is it going to help or is it going to hurt? And that's how simple I try to keep my life today. You know? I have a lot of experience with hurt. That's not what I want to do anymore. And that is my old behaviors, my character defects, my getting loaded. That's what happens. I'm not about that anymore. Today I live a different way. This program has made that possible. This connection with the higher power has made that possible. With that, I will pass to our third panelist here.